Hey everyone, Airfun Elijah here. This special edition of the CultCast is brought to you by MikeTees.com, the best place on the internet to get your Apple-inspired graphic tees. MikeTees ships all over the world. All their shirts are made right here in the beautiful USA. Check them out, MikeTees.com, MIGHTTEES.com, and save 15% off your order with the discount code at checkout, CultCast15. That's CultCast15 at checkout to save 15% off your order. Let's talk about MacBook Pros. Hello and welcome to the CultCast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. It's going to be a special edition show today. I'm here with Chris Forsman from Ars Technica. Welcome back, Chris.
Oh, thanks for having me.
You bet. Chris dropped everything to help me put out a quick show. All of our other normal personalities, Buster, Alex, couldn't be on. They're busy actually writing articles for the site. So we're going to put out this special edition show and try to cover as much as we can. It's going to be a short show. And then we're going to come out with a normal episode on Thursday where we can kind of go into a little bit more in-depth discussion about everything. Because there's a lot of stuff. Wouldn't you agree, Chris?
Quite a bit, yeah.
What was your initial reaction after the whole thing ended? What were your thoughts?
You know, it was a little disappointing that none of the desktops got updates. I mean, yeah. You know, all
that was your reaction.
it's different when you're in the thick of this all day, every day.
Yeah, true.
The Ivy Bridge updates are great. The new Retina MacBook Pro looks awesome. In fact, I'm sitting here with my 11-inch Air right now, and I've been in love with it since I got it. Uh-huh. But I'm honestly like, maybe, just maybe, I should get that Retina MacBook Pro.
It does look nice. I was enthusiastically excited after WWDC. I tweeted out, this has been one of the most exciting keynotes I've seen from Apple in a long time. You were right. It was a hardware bomb. We got updated everything. And I was really excited. And I think I tweeted out after all it was over, I needed a cigarette to calm down, which I don't smoke.
Right, so you're just double screwed.
So let's just jump right into the thing everyone wants us to talk about most, obviously. So let's talk about MacBook Pros. Mm-hmm. Apple did something kind of unexpected here. They released the same MacBook Pros that they've always had. They just updated them with the Ivy Bridge chips, right?
Right.
And faster graphics. And then they also released a brand new MacBook Pro. So similar body design, but thinner. No mm-hmm. DVD drive as we had expected, right?
Right.
We've got Retina display, which boasts 4 times more resolution than current MacBook Pros.
Right.
And I think the DPI is like 220. So a little bit higher DPI than even I was expecting. I thought it was going to be like Retina display, quote unquote. You know, it's like, oh, as long as you look at it from 2 feet away. You're going to not be able to see the jaggies and stuff. I believe the memory is faster. The integrated graphics are faster, up to 60% faster than the last model MacBook Pro.
Right.
Those are the Intel HD 4000 graphics, right?
Yeah, but I think it still has a discrete chip as well.
It does, yeah. So it has both, and then it has the GeForce 650M.
Right.
Graphics chip in it also, and that's the Kepler architecture for those of you who actually care about such things, with up to 1 gig of DDR5 RAM. That's a lot of memory for a notebook computer. USB 3, which is personally my favorite because I've been waiting for USB 3 for a long time. Do you have any USB 3 devices?
No, I don't.
I don't either, but I've wanted some.
Yeah.
And,
you know, I take that back. Actually, I have one of those Voyager docks from Otherworld Computing, where you can, you know, it's just like a little stand, and you can slide.
I know exactly what you're talking about, right? Yeah. And it has like it can fit 3.5 or 2.5 inch hard drives, right?
Yep.
Those are awesome.
Yeah.
Really handy, and USB almost as fast as FireWire 800. But obviously much more universal. So I'm really excited about that. So, and then it runs off flash storage. So no mechanical parts. Now we're speaking about the Retina display model. So as I mentioned earlier, there are 2 different models. And the main differences, as far as I understand, between the regular models and the Retina display models is, A, you can get faster hardware with the Retina display model. Is that correct? So faster, faster processor, more RAM too, I noticed.
No, I think you can get both of those options. I'm actually on the store here right now, kind of comparing.
Yeah,
I am too.
Okay, no, you're right. You're right. So it's the same 2.7 gigahertz Intel Core i7 chip, and those are the new ones.
I really think what we're looking at, besides obviously the Retina display, which is the most visible and perhaps visceral change, it's really just they got rid of the optical drive and flattened the whole thing out. And
it has
the architecture is a little bit more like the MacBook Air, you know, with the little SSD flash module for your drive. There's no spinning hard drive at all.
Now, they don't call that an SSD, though, do they? They call it a flash module intentionally, because I noticed some places they call the SSD an SSD option, and then some places they call it a flash module. Are those actually different, or are they the same thing?
It's the same thing, although Apple is using a form factor that I don't know that many other PC OEMs are using. But beyond that, you know, there's no like technical difference between the two.
Gotcha. So the main differences then between the normal MacBook Pro and the Retina MacBook Pro is obviously the Retina display. The Retina display model is thinner. It's 0.771 inches thick instead of 0.95 inches thick. It weighs the Retina display model weighs a full pound less.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a lot.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing to consider too is they packed in more battery to run that Retina display, right?
Yeah.
But it still weighs a pound less.
The whole thing is probably battery in there.
Yeah.
And one thing that I'm really excited about that I haven't really heard anyone talk about yet is the you're able to use up to 16 gigabytes of memory on the Retina display model, and the max for all the other notebooks that I've seen are all 8 gigs.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe not a huge deal to most people, but for people who are doing video editing and photo editing, like, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And then of course it comes base with a 512 gigabyte the flash storage drive, which is a lot for a flash storage drive. I mean, those things are super expensive. And then let's talk about some of the things that maybe we didn't like. Did you notice the price?
for the high-end
Retina display model?
It seems reasonable. I mean, you're looking at $2,200 to start, and that's honestly, I mean, that seems really reasonable for
and
everything you're getting.
$2,800 for the high level one.
Right. You're getting a bump in the processor, you're getting a bump in the RAM, you're getting a bump in the flash storage. So.
Well, no, it's actually not a bump in the RAM. It's only a bump in the processor speed. So you go from a 2.3 gigahertz chip, quad-core chip, to a 2.6 quad-core chip. And then you get 512 gigabytes of flash storage instead of 256 gigabytes of flash storage.
Right.
And that raises
right.
the price $600. Insane.
Yeah.
And if you notice, if you go to customize the flash storage, you can get a 768 gigabyte option instead of the 512 for an extra $450.
Yeah.
That is insanely expensive. I mean, that's like over three G's after tax.
Yeah. But it's just like you said earlier, though, flash storage is expensive.
It is very expensive.
It's still expensive. And once you get above like, really, 128 is kind of a reasonable price point now. But once you get above 128 gigabytes, the prices go up really fast because you're talking about very high density chips that have to be packed on that. You know, the physical drive can't get any bigger, and you can't pack any more chips on it. So you have to use more and more expensive chips to reach higher capacities.
Interesting. Well, I think the 512 is a good size to go for. One of my disappointments is I was kind of hoping that they were going to do a main SSD drive, flash drive, and then a secondary hard drive. And that's something that we talked about a lot because, you know, as a pro user, you need the storage. But with a 512 gigabyte SSD / flash drive in it, it's like you don't really need a secondary storage option. And if you do, you have Thunderbolt and you have USB 3. So I think it's a pretty good compromise, don't you think?
Yeah.
So I'm kind of on the fence about whether or not I should get one, because even if you're a student with using that Discover card discount that I talked about a few episodes ago, it's, and this is not including tax, it's $2,400, $2,460, which would be the most expensive computer I've ever bought.
Right.
So, Christy, are you thinking that you're going to maybe spring for one?
I'm thinking really hard about it. You're right. I mean, it would probably be the most expensive Mac I ever bought. I'm trying to remember.
I mean, it would probably, but, for me, it would be one of the most expensive pieces of electronics I've ever bought. The only other thing I've bought that would be more than that would be, I bought a Canon 5D Mark III recently.
Oh, uh-huh.
That was, it's a beautiful camera, but that was $3,500. And that was hard to swallow.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, I've been promising myself to buy a 5D for like the last 3 years, and I just haven't. I haven't done it. I haven't been able to pull the trigger. So.
Well, now you can get the 5D Mark II for a song.
Yeah, well, it depends, because if you get one from a pro, it's going to be all beat to hell. So
yeah. Well, I guess what I mean is it's all relative. They're a lot cheaper than they used to be. I think you can get one. You can get a used one
for $2,000.
Oh, here in Seattle, they're actually going for a little bit less on Craigslist.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, because now they're $2,000 in stores.
Right.
So you can get one for like $1,600, $1,500. Of course, there's always those people who, you know, are like, this is in great condition, I want $1,900.
Yeah.
Anyway, we digress.
I just had a side note. I was looking up, you know, because Otherworld Computing is, they make those upgradable drive modules for the MacBook Airs.
Right.
Which I haven't been able to confirm this yet, but they look very similar to what Apple's using in this Retina MacBook Pro.
Mm-hmm.
And their 480 gigabyte drive is almost $800.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That is insanely expensive.
So yeah. But I mean, you know, you can get like a 280 for 400, like half the price.
I kind of need, I think my minimum needs are like 512, honestly. Yeah. I pretty much hover around 400, and then I bounce up to, you know, like 480, 490, and then I, you know, offload stuff to a hard drive.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, my iTunes collection is like 120 gigs. I could probably get rid of that.
You could pair that. You could get a used Mac Mini.
Yeah.
Run it as an iTunes server. There you go.
I could do that, and that would probably work great. I honestly don't even really listen to my iTunes anymore because I use Spotify so much.
Oh, well, there you have it.
But there are certain things that Spotify doesn't have, like my Led Zeppelin collection. You know, it's like they don't get that stuff. But I could go through and get rid of all the other crap that Spotify has and probably get down to a decent size.
Sure.
Let's talk about apps for a moment. So a lot of apps aren't going to be able to take care or aren't going to be able to take advantage of this Retina display, at least not yet. I know Apple said that they're working with major developers to get a lot of those major apps updated. Like smart move, they're working with Adobe. So they said, think Photoshop is going to be updating their app soon to work with the new Retina display, which is great because if the Retina display doesn't work with any apps, right? It's like, what's the point?
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of developers have actually been preparing for this already. A lot of developers I've talked to, because, you know, this change already happened on iOS with the Retina iPhone and then the Retina iPad. So, you know, they're already making UI graphics that are twice the resolution. And from what I've heard, the APIs for supporting it are very similar to those used in iOS.
Hmm.
So, you know, as long as the developer has made the double resolution artwork and has it bundled with the app, macOS 10 just does the right thing and uses it on a Retina display.
Good to know.
Yeah. So I think we're going to see a lot of updates happen very soon.
I think you're probably right. People are going to, I mean, it's kind of a competitive advantage too, right? It's like if they get their app updated quickly, people might be more willing to, you know, buy them. those of us who can afford such fine machines. You know, I have a whole section of specs that I totally forgot to read. So let's cruise through some of these other ones. Up to 7 hours of battery life with 30 days of standby. Mm-hmm. Something interesting they said, a MagSafe 2 adapter. So I'm assuming this is going to have a new power adapter.
Yeah, it's a little bit flatter than the current. You know, and the design of it looks like I don't know if you remember the older MagSafe adapters that just sort of had a straight cable going into like a little rectangular plug.
Yes, I do.
That it's that same style.
Oh, it's is it really?
Yeah.
So they're going back to the old school style?
Yeah.
Except it's much thinner, right? So it's not as long?
Right. Exactly.
Oh, interesting. SD card slot. Here's an interesting one. HDMI out.
Yeah.
For the first time ever on any Mac laptop. Computer, right?
No. The last minis have an HDMI out.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
Oh, I did not know that. Okay.
The ones that were just updated last fall or sometime like that.
Okay. That's very cool, especially for video editors. You get two USB slots, so a USB 3/2. They're dual ports. They do both. One on each side of the computer. You get two Thunderbolt ports. Two Thunderbolt ports. Really?
Yeah.
That's kind of a bummer.
It's a bummer. Why?
Well, I guess like I love Thunderbolt, but there just aren't very many devices that use it. So I guess this is like a forward looking thing. They're like, these devices are going to start coming out.
Well, and keep in mind too, they also have those new Thunderbolt adapters for Gigabit Ethernet and for FireWire. So if you're using one of those adapters with the device, then you still have another Thunderbolt port you can be running.
Ah.
A Thunderbolt display. You could be running another Thunderbolt chain of other devices.
Touche, Chris Ford's Mac Daddy. And that's something that I want to talk about too, but headphone jack, Bluetooth for a FaceTime HD camera. That's nothing new to notebooks, at least to newer notebooks. Here's something that I thought was interesting. Dual mics for beam-forming stereo.
Mm-hmm.
That's fancy.
Yeah.
I wonder if
it also helps with eliminating background noise, similar to the design used on the iPhone. It's definitely a more advanced version of that because the mics are both placed in the same direction. So the iPhone uses one where you're talking into one mic and then the other mic is pointed behind you. So it helps filter out the background noise that way. This one's a little bit different technology, but
interesting.
Same basic idea.
Gotcha, but it should work a lot better for just having Skype conversations and whatnot. Mm-hmm.
FaceTime calls.
Yeah, that's a good point, FaceTime calls. Because the current Macs honestly work very well, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So this will be interesting to try. You mentioned adapters. Oh, so goodbye FireWire, goodbye Ethernet port.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're going to need a Thunderbolt adapter from Apple to use either of those things. Let's hope they have one adapter that goes into your Thunderbolt port that has both FireWire and Ethernet and not one of each.
Apple doesn't, but Belkin will in the next couple months.
So you think that they'll have one adapter that both plug into and then that plugs into your Thunder port, as I like to call it?
Thunder port. I mean, Apple is doing separate adapters.
Right. But you think they Belkin will do like a unified adapter?
Yeah, Belkin has a hub that has like USB 3, ESATA, gotcha. FireWire, Ethernet. I think it maybe has some kind of audio.
I saw that. It was pretty pricey, though, wasn't it? It was like $400.
Yeah, $400.
Mm-hmm. Jeez. That's a lot for an adapter.
Open up that wallet.
Yeah. So that's another thing I think about when I'm like, should I buy this computer? I'm like, I use Ethernet all the time. All my hard drives are FireWire currently. Mm-hmm. All my external hard drives. So I'm like, oh, gosh, that's getting more and more painful.
Well, think about it this, too. FireWire daisy chains. So you can plug your chain of FireWire devices into one adapter, plug that into your Thunderbolt port, and you're golden.
That's true, and that's actually what I do now. So I just have to get one adapter. Of course, then I still have to get the Ethernet adapter. And here...
Do you have to?
I do. For recording this show, I don't trust Wi-Fi. And plus, I have a gigabit network, I can transfer stuff over my network at 60 megs a second.
Sure.
And I'm like, you can't get anywhere close to that with Wi-Fi. And here was the thing I was most excited about that got a cheer, I guess. For all you wind enthusiasts. they spaced the fan blades in the new MacBook Pro asymmetrically. So the fan noise is not a uniform sound, but more dispersed.
More like white noise.
Yeah, it's going to sing to you. You can play it next to your bed and it'll put you to sleep. Well, that's pretty much everything about the new MacBook Pros. So you have two choices to make. You have the old school models that are basically garbage now. Let's just admit it.
Right. Junk water.
You can put it under your dog's sleeping mat and use it to keep urine from hitting the floor. It's basically all it's good for now.
You can keep them warm, too. Keep Flash running in the background.
That's right. Actually, before we wrap up, let's talk a little bit about Mac Pros, just briefly. So those kind of got an update today, but it was a very, very minor update. We were expecting something much more major. It basically just got new processors and faster RAM. That's about it, right?
Well, the dual socket models before today, the base model was a dual 4-core, so you had 8 cores. Now they're starting with dual six cores, so you've got 12 cores total. So that was one different change there. You can get a build-to-order option with a 3.06 gigahertz 6-core processor, so a slight speed bump on the top-end option. It's still insanely pricey. It's still using 2-year-old processor design. It's still in a 10-year-old case design. It was just like, I don't know. I don't know if it's either kind of a screw you to the pro users or just like a, hey, here's, you know, we're paying attention. We're working on something, but we got to hold on. You know, yeah, it's just not ready. And we're keeping this going for the time being.
That's kind of what I think too. Cause I was looking, it's still using Bluetooth 2.1. It doesn't have USB 3.
Right.
I mean, my gosh, this is the pro level computer that Apple sells, right? And it doesn't even have USB 3. I don't think it has eSATA either. Does it?
Nope. No.
So it's still using USB 2. It's still using a really old Bluetooth technology. Mm-hmm. I mean, everything about it is still old.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
And they're still getting premium prices. Or, well, I should say they're charging premium prices.
They really are. I mean, at this point...
There's going to be some users that are going to spend it because they need, you know, Mac Pro workstations for Final Cut or whatever they're doing.
Right.
They need the machines. They're going to have the seats. But at the same time, you know, you're going to see a lot of pro users maybe even considering like jumping to Windows because they can get a workstation that's almost as good for about half the price. And, you know, some like even like Adobe or something, they let you do platform cross grades. So they might just get Premiere for Windows or whatever.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you can just kind of switch over, no extra cost, if you have some Adobe Premiere software.
Yeah.
Well, hey, that's all the time we have for today. Make sure you come back Thursday for our complete overview of everything WWDC. We're going to be talking about everything else on Thursday. There's, of course, a ton of stuff to talk about. We're going to be talking about iOS 6, new features in Mountain Lion. I was really pleased with today's event, and I recommend you watch it. Apple's posted it on their website. Definitely check it out, and let me know what you thought of today's announcements. Hey, you should follow Chris. He's brilliant, and so are his tweets. He has great tweets. And he's just Forrest Mac on Twitter. That Foresmac.
Yeah, you know me.
And I'm at Erfon, Erfon. The Cultcast is the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. This has been a special edition of the Cultcast. Usually episodes come out every Thursday night, and we'll have a brand new episode for you this Thursday night. So we will see you soon. Thanks for listening.